Welcome to Mom Enough.
With your co-hosts, developmental psychologist Dr. Marty Erickson and Aaron Erickson, maternal child health specialist. Brought to you through a partnership with the Minnesota Department of Education and Working Family Resource Center. Content copyrighted by Marty and Aaron Erickson. All rights reserved.
Here's my grandma, Marty. And here's Aaron, my mom, and Nah.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Mom Enough. I'm Marty Erickson here with my daughter, Erin, and we're delighted today to be talking with an author and professor who whose work has really impressed us. And Erin, why don't you do the honors of introducing our guest?
Absolutely. We have with us Dr. Charlotte Resnick, who is an internationally recognized child educational psychologist, an associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA, and a compelling speaker and media personality who has inspired parents, professionals, educators, and psychologists throughout the world with her original therapeutic approach to helping children and adolescents heal themselves. Her book is The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Dr. Resnick, we're so glad you could join us to discuss this very important topic and share with us the many wonderful tools you have in your book.
Oh, thank you. I'm so delighted to be here speaking with both of you.
Well, we wondered if you could start us off by just talking about what your goal was in writing this particular book. I know you've been doing this kind of work for quite some time, but what prompted you to write this specific book at this time?
You know, I really wanted to reach out to as many people and families and kids as I could, because the idea is that kids have the answers. All we have to do is, with a few tools, help them find those answers inside. And it's free, and it's easy, and it's fun, and why not? So after working with so many kids over the years, I felt it was time to write it down so that others, you know, would benefit.
Well, so you developed this program that uses 9 imagery tools, tools you've been using in your practice for 20 years. Can you tell us about those 9 tools?
Oh, sure. In fact, it's more like 30, but we won't tell anyone.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
We'll be with you for a week, I guess, right? We'll start with 9.
Well, I should preface it by saying the idea is we want the kids to go inside. So the first tool, I call it the balloon breath, because it's something that centers you. And I use the expression balloon breath because it's an easy visual. The idea that there's a balloon in your belly, like 2 to 3 inches below your belly button. And when you breathe in slowly, the balloon gets bigger. And when you breathe out, it flattens. And that is sort of sometimes counterindicated, because some people, when you say breathe in, they suck their bellies in. And that's not the relaxing breath. So the relaxing one is to breathe in with your belly coming out. And this breath has been around forever. We just call it different things. It's a meditation breath. It's a yoga breath. And it will help the kids just calm and center them, because that's the center of your body. So once they're centered and calm, then they could go inside and access that information. So then I have them find a special place that feels safe, that could be like a mini vacation from everyday life. It could be a place where they do their inner work. Like one girl had a special place that had many rooms in it. Often kids have a beach or a meadow or something really making them feel good. Could be Disneyland. But one girl had several rooms, an art room, a reading room, and she had a main room where she met with her inner advisors to do the work that she needed to do to help herself.
And how so creative.
Yeah. Yes. That's the point. It's all from their imagination. And so it's fun, and it is creative, because from our imagination comes everything. So then once you have that special place to go to, then you can access that information. And I do it in terms of, depending on the age of the kids, I'll have them find an animal friend or a wizard or a wise person. And the idea is that by consulting these animal friends, it kind of bypasses your own defense system. So if you ask your little girl, why are you hitting your younger brother? She might say, I don't know. But if her animal friend gives her a gift to help her not be so mad, like one girl received a magic eraser to erase the bad feelings about her brother, that's more powerful.
Hmm.
That's wonderful.
I love that. Yeah.
Well, do you find that these tools work with all children, or are some children, you know, maybe really artistic kids or visually oriented kids better at using these tools?
Well, I like to think of everyone connecting with the imagination perhaps in different ways. Some kids are more visual and can see pictures or imagine pictures, and some kids just feel something. Like one boy said, well, I don't really see anything, but I have a sense of it. You know, I might say there was a boy who was having trouble sleeping, and how much longer is it going to, you know, where are you on your path? Like, sometimes they'll have them start their road from where they are now to their goal, and so his goal was sleeping on his own. And I said, well, where do you feel you are on that path? And he just got a sense that he was about 80% there. So everyone connects in a different way, and depending on the age of the child and what their interests are, as a mom or a teacher or as a therapist, you know how to speak to that child. So then you could adapt the language. So I find that it's very, very helpful. Maybe not every single tool, but some kids have more favorites than others. You know, like even I had a 3-year-old. I mean, I shouldn't be seeing 3-year-olds, but I am sometimes. And he was trying to calm himself down using the balloon breath. His mom had said, well, go to your room, calm yourself down. And she could hear him doing that balloon breath, breathing in and calming himself down. And he knew that would help him. So, you know, when we go back to the animal friends and the wizards, animal friends are a little bit different. The idea of an animal friend is that they're a wise, loving creature that has your best interests at heart. And so one girl who is having trouble, another one having trouble sleeping, a lot of kids have trouble sleeping. I don't know if that's your experience at some point in their life. And she was very afraid, even though they had a locket, you know, they had an alarm in their house and the doors were all locked and they were in a safe neighborhood. But she was terrified. So she imagined this giant white dragon wrapped around her bed that she called Valcor, and Valcor protected her. And she also put like a little tiger at the door just in case. And that really helped her. And then after a few weeks, she started worrying about her brother, her parents. So she got Valcor's cousins and friends to come and help them.
When
someone
said,
well, it's just your imagination. How is that supposed to help? And she said, my fear is from my imagination, so I have to go into that realm to fix it.
Oh, wow. Is that profound, insightful?
I know. I had to start paying her.
Really? I want to inject a little story here because Aaron's little boy, who just turned 5, has an imaginary dragon that he draws on in interesting ways. This is something he just came up with, but I've noticed that he really uses that imaginary dragon to kind of master his own fears. And one example of that was last summer when we were having really intense thunderstorms and lightning, and there had been some really frightening news stories that he happened to see. We try to keep the lid on that when we can, but he had seen some of the news stories about, you know, serious injuries related to the weather. And he was telling me about how his imaginary dragon has a special laser gun that he can use to kill the lightning or to take the lightning's power away from it, which I just thought was a wonderful, I mean, talk about using what was inside him. No one even prompted him to
do that.
Was really helping him deal with something that felt very beyond all of our control at that time. So I love the way you're tapping into that intentionally and really supporting these kids. I wonder, too, if you could, you talked about 3 tools and you told us there are 30. We can't go through
9.
All 30.
No, no.
But there are
years,
a couple of...
30 years, not 30 tools, just 9 tools. But
okay.
Instead of 20 years, closer to 30 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, good.
Gotcha.
I was thinking we had the number of
tools.
Yeah,
I thought, gosh, 30 tools. Well, so that was our misunderstanding. But are there a couple others you can tell us about that we didn't get to?
Oh, absolutely. So we kind of mentioned the wizard. The wizard's a more powerful when maybe the animal friend is on vacation or not working and you need a little bit of magic. And with Harry Potter around, that's so popular. But when you think of the wizard as a master teacher in human form. So it's a little bit different from the animal friend. So like one child was having trouble studying, so he went to this huge library, you know, like the master library, and his wizard was there and helped him when he was studying. He made the words float up into the air and into his brain, so it stayed in his brain. So you could use them slightly differently. And then if you have a child that's not into wizards, maybe an older teenager, you might use just a wise person. And sometimes people come to them, maybe it's a grandparent that passed away, or maybe it's one of their parents that comes to them and gives them that wise advice.
Hmm.
And it can be very powerful as well. So once you have those, I sort of touched on the idea of gifts, because the animal friends and the wizards and the wise people bring gifts. And a gift, it's not just an imaginary physical gift. It could also be something they say or something they show you. So, like, the magic eraser was one gift. Or one girl was very, very shy and was afraid of speaking up at school, and her wizard gave her a speak-up necklace. So she felt safer and more confident to speak up.
Oh, I like that.
So whatever you need is there. And once the kids learn these little tools, all they have to do is close their eyes, do their balloon breath, and see, okay, who shows up to help you with this problem? And it could be anyone. And that's what's so nice, because once they get into it, it's like, oh, okay, let me just check inside. And then we move a little bit along to a little more general idea of checking in with your heart and your belly, because I believe there's so much information in our heart, and there's so much in our gut feelings, and I love the mind, but when we combine them all, they're much more powerful. So see, what does your heart have to tell you today? What's your heart's message today? What's your belly's message? One boy, a young boy, said to share at preschool. And then check to see if your heart is in agreement with your belly. Because sometimes they're not, and you want to be coming from a very authentic place. You want to help the kids be the real them and not put on a mask for someone else.
Well, I think that that's so important, because there are so many pressures for kids to do and be something other than what they are. I mean, I think of parents who, you know, maybe want their child to live out the dream that they didn't get to live out, maybe
sure.
through athletics or other things. And I think giving kids this opportunity to really go into their bodies and see, you know, what is it that your body's telling you?
Yes, and absolutely. And then we want to extend that, because there are all sorts of feelings throughout our body. So you might look at it, where's your stress? Where's your anger? Where are your calm feelings? One boy who was very, very angry and becoming a bully at school, he had like fire in his belly, you know, red anger in his belly. And so I was looking, okay, what's the anecdote for him? So when I'm working with like a negative feeling, we might say negative feeling like anger, I try to look for two positives. So I asked him where his calm feelings were. And they were in his shoulders, like blue circles. And then I had him breathe in the color blue, that color of his calm feelings, into the anger and notice what happened. And what he noticed is that the calm feelings covered over the anger. So then I went, I thought, okay, let's try love. So for him, love was in his heart, and it was white. And when he breathed in love to the anger, it kind of dissipated the anger. So it was much more powerful.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I love that. And so often I think we get caught up in just focusing on the challenge or the stress rather than looking at those assets, those internal assets that we can tap into.
Sure, we want them to develop their own resources. And if he could find, wow, I'm feeling really upset, he might have a conversation with his anger and see what it wants to say. Like, I had one boy who was also very angry, but what he discovered was all kinds of things under the anger. There was disappointment, there was worry about school, there was, you know, fear about not getting enough attention. And so the anger was sort of covering up, like, the bubbling of the top of all those other feelings. And then we could have a conversation. You could have a conversation with the feelings and see what they need to calm down or what they're trying to tell you. And you do this all through their imagination.
Well, these are just wonderful tools. And as someone who, I have to give the disclaimer that I soak this stuff up, and I'm actually studying it right now at the University of Minnesota here.
Wonderful.
At the Center for Spirituality and Healing. And so related to that, I want to know what your thoughts are on using these tools with parents. And should we as parents also have some imaginary friends or wise guides?
Oh, absolutely. You can, because really the idea of imagery and imagination work has been around for adults for a long, long time. I mean, just think about all the athletes, Olympic athletes, who use imagery and visualization to help them. Or pioneers like Carl Symington and Bernie Siegel, who used imagination and imagery for cancer patients. So definitely, it's just my niche with kids. So I definitely try to teach parents to use it too. And maybe as they're reading The Power of the your child's imagination, they adapt it to themselves mm-hmm. because it's so powerful. One grandma was saying, oh, I want a time management wizard.
yeah, and this grandma's thinking that too.
So it's definitely, it's really for everybody. And you just change up the language a little. Although, actually, adults kind of like the idea of working with kid language because they're working with their inner kid.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I need a wise guide for how to do my laundry, how to get all the kids' laundry done. That's like this huge problem for me. And
that's right. Well, you'll have to find the assets you can tap for that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We'll put you on your path, you know, your path where you are now, not knowing what to do. And the end of the path is knowing how to do laundry. And then you meet a wizard along the way. And each step of the way, you might have an obstacle. And then you'll deal with that with your imagination. Maybe you'll receive gifts from little animal friends to help you.
I have jokingly said to friends of mine that I'm hoping one night the laundry elves will come and just do it all for me.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet, but I'm still working on that.
Well, Charlotte, you I know you advise using music, drawing, and writing to enhance some of these techniques. Can you talk a little bit about how parents might be able to do that with their children?
Oh, sure. Well, I love the idea of music in the background, some soft, you know, relaxing music, either something like classical that's soft, like Mozart or Brahms, or there are a lot of great musicians. Steve Halpern has a lot of wonderful music. And that creates a beautiful atmosphere of calmness. And so the words have double meaning when you have that music behind. Sometimes kids and parents don't even hear my words. They're just going off on the music. And I trust that that's fine because they're going inside. That's where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And music is very powerful and very healing, and there's lots of research on it. Oh, my gosh, there's such a funny study I wrote about. In Spain, they found that this farmer who was feeding his cows and playing Mozart in the background, they seemed to make more and sweeter milk than the other cows. So I thought that was very amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
music could have an effect on his little cows. They certainly have an effect on our brain.
Absolutely. Well, and breastfeeding mothers, I'm thinking, who are having trouble getting the milk going. There
That's
you go.
That's right. That's right. It's very deeply relaxing. And the art and the drawing is so helpful, or writing. You just have to have some markers or crayons and whatever wants to come out, because just the act of drawing is very cathartic. And also, you could work with your child's drawing. There was one boy who was drawing a lake or an ocean, and there was a shark in it, and he was in the water, and it looked like the shark was going to eat him. And I just asked him, gosh, can anything help him? And he said, oh, sure, my dad could throw me a life vest. So he had the resource to get out of this sticky situation.
Hmm.
And if he didn't, I might offer a couple of suggestions. And if he didn't like them, then I'd know he was in trouble emotionally inside.
Hmm. I think all of these tools, too, sound like they lend themselves so well to kind of graphic representation, and kids love to do that, and they can be so concrete about these internal processes. I think that would be just a wonderful tool for kind of strengthening communication between parents and children, too.
Yes.
And really helping them see each other's inner lives in a way.
Yes, that has been very helpful, very helpful. And even writing, some older kids like to just journal, or older ones with the non-dominant hand. I have them just maybe have a conversation. What is your dominant hand question? Like one boy wrote, why is there so much stress in my life? And when you use the non-dominant hand, it's another way of tapping into your unconscious. And so he wrote, it's not so much stress. You put it on yourself.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I just bought a book recently called, I think it's called Writing with the Other Hand or something.
Lucia Cappuccioni has written about 6 books in this area. So.
Okay, yeah, I think it is one of her books, and I was really fascinated with that thought of, you know, using the other hand as a way to kind of tap into the subconscious in a
sense. Yes, and sometimes people write poetry out of that other hand, and receive beautiful, beautiful information.
Hmm. Yeah,
I was thinking about, you know, these other tools about talking to your feelings and working with the feelings. And there was one girl who was dying for a little baby brother or sister, right? You know, how I find that kids want brothers and sisters until they get them.
I got one for my 6th birthday, actually. My parents brought my baby brother home from the hospital the day before I turned 6.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy, did I feel spoiled.
But once this little girl got, in fact, she had twins. I got twins, so she wasn't too happy about it. And when she got in touch with her feelings, it was like she had love in her heart for the babies. But when, you know, she also had these hateful feelings toward them, and she said those were in her feet and her toes. And when I asked her to try to breathe in that love and send it down to where the hateful feelings were, she got all the way to her ankle, but then there was a door that stopped them going through. So in order to open the door, we negotiated. And we had a conversation with her hateful feelings, which actually the week later turned out to be sad feelings, because that was under the hateful feelings.
Which is so often the case.
Yes, that's a wonderful thing for parents to be aware of, as many of them are. And she said she wanted more attention with her mom.
Oh.
And then she realized with this negotiation with her feelings that she could get more attention if she helped her mom with the babies. Because she could be being with her mom, and they could be changing the babies together and hanging out together. And that enabled her door to open up, so she was able to send her love all the way through.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, so you mentioned before working a lot with kids with sleep issues, and that really is a major concern, I think, a concern that all parents at some point will face.
Yes.
So how can parents use imagination to help their kids fall asleep? Do you have some simple ideas that, you know,
sure,
would be easy
for... Sure.
You
know, the balloon breath works like magic a lot, just lying in bed and doing the balloon breath and thinking about something you'd like to dream about. And it really depends on what the issue is. Are your kids having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep? And if they're having trouble falling asleep, is it that their mind is going, you know, is it their mind ratcheted up because they're thinking about the day or worrying about tomorrow? So you want to just tease out what the concerns are. And what happens is it's hard for the mind to stop. So with the imagination, you could create like a diversion. So they're not thinking about their worries, but they're thinking about something more positive. I have lots of CDs, you know, and kids will fall asleep to the CDs. So parents could use some of the scripts in the book and make their own CDs if they want, just to have them have something else to focus on. Or even ask their little brain, what's going to help you sleep? Or bring in an animal friend. One little girl, she had a unicorn that gave her a little sleep potion that she's supposed to sprinkle on her head and say, falling asleep.
Low
and deep, falling asleep. And that would put her out to sleep. And she's supposed to sprinkle it on her head every night. So that really helped her, because the whole idea of, like, the placebo effect, I mean, your mind controls so much. So if you believe this will help you, it will help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole idea, that bringing in that Valcor wizard, dragon, to help that little girl who's afraid, or having the sleep potion to put you to sleep, or listening to something pleasant to divert your mind. All of that can help.
That's really powerful. You're making me fall asleep even as you talk here. I've got that little unicorn sprinkling sleep potion on my head on this gray afternoon in Minnesota. I wonder if you could also talk a little bit about a parent whose child might need some help building up self-esteem, maybe a child who's being bullied or who's just really kind of not able to stand up to life's challenges. What would you recommend there?
Sure. That, like, the best time to start is wherever you are now. Because you want to be having a child believe in themselves and grow strong and be able to, you know, stand up to other kids. So depending on the situation, I have one girl who is feeling that she was being bullied by her friends. And maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, but the important thing is she felt that way. So she actually, we asked her to bring in someone to help her, and she brought in this little crystal wizard who gave her these three gifts, and one was a star crystal to help her feel like a star no matter what. One was a heart crystal, even if her friends wouldn't have lunch with her or ignore her. One was a heart crystal to love herself and actually love her friends, even though they were being mean to her at the moment. And another one was like a crystal to handle all other problems. So she covered herself. So even though it seems like a little maybe silly thing, it actually shifted the way she was feeling. So the next day she was able to go into school and face the girls, and because she had such a confident attitude, they welcomed her at the lunch table. So it, you know, it made such a difference how she expressed herself and felt about herself. Or I'll even have kids reparent themselves. Look, we try the best we can, but nobody's perfect, and you know, your kids have different ideas of how they want to be loved and taken care of. So I'll sometimes take them back to the moment of birth and have them imagine being loved and held and cuddled and just the way they want, just perfect for them, and then grow themselves up to where, whatever the age they are now, whether they're 7 or 17 or 27, and then see themselves how they're different based on having received all the love they wanted, just the way they wanted, and then see themselves in the future growing. So one girl who's in, you know, actually a poor, very poor, difficult neighborhood, saw herself growing into a doctor and owning a hospital. And I thought that was so cool because she had a dream. And once you have a dream, you can take the steps to get there. She could study hard. She can, you know, get a scholarship. She can keep going.
Well, that's wonderful. I love that thought, too, for the child to take kind of control of that piece of their child rearing and really claim what they wanted as a child, how they wanted to be parented. I think that could be really valuable actually for adults as well who, you know, maybe feel like they didn't have the kind of parenting they needed.
That's true. There's a woman, Margaret Paul, that does something called inner bonding, and she does a lot of inner child work. That's great for adults.
Well,
I have a 16-year-old who was feeling terrible about herself because her parents divorced when she was 6, and she felt it must have been her fault, as a lot of little kids believe. Mm-hmm. And so there was when she went inside, there was a little girl that was sitting and crying inside her heart. So we had to do a lot of, she did a lot of work on herself, you know, comforting that little girl inside her who felt it was her fault and saying, it wasn't your fault, you know, I love you, your parents love you, and then grew that little girl up to grow her own confidence up.
Well, that's really powerful. So thank you so much for joining us today. I think you just have wonderful tools, and I love your approach to helping kids. I think it's really a beautiful way to tap into their imagination to support them in healing. It's just really amazing.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And, you know, if anyone wants to learn more, they just go to my website, which is imageryforkids.com.
That's right, and we link to that from our website, Dr. Resnick. And I want to mention again the title of your book that really includes all of these wonderful tips and many more, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. And I can't think of a parent who wouldn't want to do that. So thanks for sharing your wisdom and your many years of practice with us, and we'll look forward to having you with us again sometime in the future.
That would be wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening to Mom Enough with Marty and Aaron.
If you have concerns about your child's growth and development, please talk to your child's healthcare provider or call 1-866-693-GROW. That's 1-866-693-4769 to talk to a professional and find out ways in which you can get connected to various resources in Minnesota.
Do you think I'll have a show called Kid Enough someday?